I got
had no way to get it around.
No, I got a canoe, and so
you're like, when I came over to the Mississippi, I got rid of the boat. I got rid of
the boat. Exactly.
Got closer to the river.
I actually sold it before I got here. Yeah, go figure. Yeah, I got a lot of crap in here.
These beanie babies that are worth like $1 million.
Well, they're all the ridiculous ones. See, that's why this is my favorite.
I always tell people I want the ones that no one else wants. So I got the red bedded baboon.
I like how it's tie dyed.
Yeah, kind of a Rafiki thing going on it.
Now, if you remember,
that's to bribe the kids to come in and see me. Beanie Babies and candy.
When they when Beanie Babies were big, right. That was during the height of the home run race.
Oh yeah! 98. Oh yeah!
Yep. And they came out with a cardinal named Mac and a bear named Sammy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
That were
both on steroids.
Yeah.
Incredibly strong.
And that was the thing, is those Beanie Babies had a high test for steroids. Actually, I saw there was on the show Workaholics, they had an episode where because they had that Diana bear, and they had these purple teddy bears, and they thought that there was drugs inside of them, so they're ripping them open and they're pouring all stuffing in the toilet. And then this woman comes in, she's like, I have this box of these like priceless Princess Diana Beanie Babies.
Have you guys seen them?
They're like, well, we flush most of the stuff.
Right. You might be able to restuff them.
Or rock and roll. Well, yeah, we have, actually, this is cool. That's like an old style Pepsi bottle.
I had a youth group in South Dakota steal that. And gave it to me. They stole it from a gas station. I still kind of. I have a collection of Pepsi paraphernalia, and they knew about it, and so they showed up in my office one day.
And you inquired, and you're like, I didn't want to know.
I don't
that.
Know anything about it.
That's probably about 98, 97.
It was. Let's see. I moved down here in 2000, so it had to be late 90s. Yep. Whoops, let me turn my phone off, too.
That's what they're going to make sure.
That's what
I'm saying. I think I tricked
it. Beanie Babies. I have a crate on the dead of those things of the somewhere.
What's that?
Oh, Beanie Babies, because I have a crate of them somewhere.
Oh, I got so much junk. I got to start giving stuff away. That's the thing.
These teeny Beanie Babies you get at McDonald's?
Right.
Yeah, there'd be lines.
Oh, I know.
Oh, people. Yeah.
I know. My mom went nuts. My mom went just nuts.
There's a documentary out. Now, a documentary you can watch in about, it's less than like 20 minutes. Yeah. But it's a guy who interviewed his parents. His parents have a basement full of boxed and like charted Beanie Babies.
So
like
that.
This box is full of blue elephants and this box is, and they thought it was an investment. Right. And they spent their life savings on Beanie Babies,
right.
Thinking that in 20 years they'd be able to get so much more back. And the it's called Bankrupt by Beanies. So I think that if you Google Bankrupt by Beanies, you can watch this. And it's so interesting. And I think it would be fun is to go through and pull the tags off of all of them.
Right. That's what... You know, I still got a few tags on there. You know, people would give... And don't be sure you don't tear the tag. Well, the kids play with them, you know?
Right.
You know, tearing off,
right.
I don't care.
Well, I have... I remember, like, we have ones from when we were little. The tag's still on it, but the tag's all wrinkled up and bent.
Right.
It would be on your bed or something. And
here's one that even has a tag
cover. Oh!
The plastic cover.
Yeah, that's the bear, the prey.
That's
bear.
Definitely for the collectors.
Right. My most important ones are up here, you know, like Mo Mallard.
Oh, cool!
Wow, that's cool.
Hey, send that one out. Let's take a picture of that one. We got a couple of friends at the Mallards. They'd get a kick out of that. That's cool.
That is awesome. That is really cool.
That.
I
know,
like,
I've never seen one of those.
I would have one of those in my office.
I actually have two of those. I have one in my car. That's my, it's up on my dashboard. It rides with me always.
You big hockey fan?
Yeah, I love hockey.
Oh,
I'm a football, baseball, hockey.
Awesome.
So
I'll put it back up there. That's cool.
Okay, right, so we're here today. We're talking with Pastor Troy Winder of the Bettendorf Presbyterian Church.
Right.
Right or wrong. So today is Good Friday, and in the Pulse tradition, and by tradition I mean this is the second year We're interviewing a member of the clergy out in our, and not only that, but an institutional head for one of for
several
group of our units.
Right.
And so, so before we talk about any type of scouting, or let's get to know Pastor Troy. And so, Pastor Troy, first of all, I guess what led you to think I want to be a minister and a pastor, and how was your journey to Bettendorf?
Okay. I early on, I've always been a ham. You know, I was that precocious kid, you know, the one that got thrown out of class for being a class clown and stuff. So I love being on stage. I love being up, you know. And so that was always fun. And even in growing up in church, I got thrown out of Sunday school. I was asked, there was an agreement between Sunday school teacher, my parents, and myself that I would no longer attend Sunday school. And this was like in third, fourth grade, and
you gotta be pretty bad to be kicked out of Sunday school,
right? But I was at,
like prisoners are at Sunday school.
That's the way I looked at it. That's the way I looked at it. You know, the only redeeming, no, I shouldn't say this, but the only redeeming value was snack time. You know, but that allowed me to go into worship. So sure. I went into worship with my parents instead of Sunday school, and I remember thinking, that's awesome. And you know, from a two standpoints, that's awesome. You get to be up front and doing, you know, being the person.
Focal point.
Yeah.
Yep.
But also, I think you know, looking back, it was God working on me.
Sure.
You know, and doors began to open, you know, and I kind of outgrew that obnoxiousness. Not really. I still have a whole lot of it. But youth group, was very active in youth group. So in high school, I you know, getting to the end of my high school career, I decided that I wanted to maybe go into some area that would help people. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work with people. And I always, in the back of my mind, thought, well, maybe church work. You know, maybe some aspect of church work. And so I began to look for a school that would allow me to do two things. Play football, and I'm undersized, and so I had to be a small school. and that had maybe a seminary attached to it that I could spy on it and see what this was all about.
Yep.
So I landed at the University of Dubuque.
They
had the seminary there. And so I was a glorified blocking dummy for 1 year, and then I quit that football thing. But I pursued, and went from college, went into seminary, became a pastor in 1988. Served churches in New York. That was my first church in Central New York, Finger Lakes area, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Omaha, Nebraska, here on South Dakota, and now kind of back home because I grew up in Waterloo.
Okay.
So,
oh, cool.
My wife is from the Dubuque area, so. Yeah. So that's kind of the...
So, bagpipes?
I love the bagpipes outdoors. You ever played them in church? You ever heard them in church?
No.
Ear splitting.
They can't do it around the stained glass.
They're really loud.
Yeah, you need to do bagpipes for something, right? Like,
we do a kirking of the tartan. We don't. I mean, well, the Presbyterians do. And usually it's First Pres Davenport that does that. They host that. We've hosted it a couple times. But yeah, it's the, you know, in the Scottish tradition where Presbyterianism comes out of, bagpipes were a part of that, and they do what's called the kirking of the tartan, which is the taking your tartan to church. Kirk is church.
Huh.
And so every year, usually it's in the fall, people of Scottish descent bring their family tartans. They wear their kilts if they have them, or the women have sashes usually, and the men always have ties. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fun tradition. But then they play the bagpipes in church, and oh, it's painful. Yeah.
So you went to U of D?
Yeah, mm-hmm. my sister graduated U of D.
Oh, really?
So she's still up in Dubuque. She actually played volleyball.
Okay. All right. So. Okay.
Very cool. Yeah. And you said you're married?
I am.
Yep. How long now?
31? Almost 31 years.
Wow. Long Did you guys time. Have a big party about a year ago?
Well, we went camping.
There you go.
It was a party because we got it by ourselves. Slowed down. Yeah. It was
and
fun.
Kids.
I've got two kids. I call them bookends. I've got my daughter's 25 now.
Okay.
25-year-old Spanish teacher up in Algona, Iowa.
Cool.
And I got a 14-year-old middle schooler. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's fun. Great kid. He's a good kid.
or rock and roll. So, what brought you down here to Bendor?
I was up in South Dakota serving as a head of staff up there in a larger church, but it kind of had it all together. It had its, and everything was going great. I love the people. The people were fantastic.
Sure.
But it wasn't challenging, and I need, because of my kind of ADD, I need a challenge. And I need a church that's willing to try different and new things. Mm-hmm. This church, like I said, had it all set up.
Right.
And I was just doing maintenance ministry. So after about 5 years up there, I decided that I needed to look around, and so I started looking at churches. Our denomination, you're able to move when you feel it's time to move and that kind of
sure.
thing. So I began looking around at churches that were looking for pastors, and this was one of the first churches I discovered on the website. And they had done a lot of things in preparation for their new pastor that showed that they were willing to try some new stuff, try to do some different things. And so that was exciting. And so I sent my dossier to them and got their church information form, kind of a matchmaking thing. And so here I am.
And that was how long ago?
That was 14 years ago.
Wow, I know. Great.
That's great. This is the longest I've really ever anywhere in my life.
That's great.
They haven't figured me out yet.
It's taken them 14 years. Well, they haven't figured you out.
Right.
Right. So, now, you mentioned that you, once you were out in the profession, you bounced around quite a bit. That seems pretty normal or standard from some of the other people that we know that are
especially when you start off early in your career, a lot of times you're an associate pastor
mm-hmm.
or an assistant pastor, and traditionally, at least in our denomination, and I know in the Lutheran church as well, they move almost every like 15 months to 3 years. They're just kind of coming and going. And so my first two calls, New York and Nebraska, where I was an associate pastor. So I was 3.5 years in New York, which kind of, that's about the top end.
Right.
And I was 5 years in Omaha, which was longer than the top end for that. And then 5 years up in South Dakota, and then forever here. So
forever. Yeah. Let's talk about here.
Well, I love it.
14 years. Let's talk about what you guys are doing here. What are some of the good things that you'd like to share about Bendor Presbyterian?
It's the church. Again, it's the people. It's relationships. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. You guys know from the scouting.
Yep.
The badges are important and that kind of stuff, but it's really the relationships.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so that's what really has been such a blessing for me is being able to develop these relationships with wonderful people. And the people have relationships in the community.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. This church is very mission-minded. And it's not just, let's throw money at mission. Let's get involved in our community.
Right.
Not just as a church, but as individuals. I know people that are doing things on their own, that I know is guided by the fact that they have a faith in God,
mm-hmm.
in their hearts require them to be involved in their community.
Sure.
And so that's exciting. It's exciting that this congregation has embraced my understanding of what a church should be, and it should be a place that is for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that one of the greatest sins that we perpetrate as a church is an empty building. God has given us this resource.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be used.
That's good.
It's not a, it otherwise it becomes a mausoleum.
Right,
for the dead and dying.
Right,
right, right.
So this church, is like right now, we've got a group of, I gotta be politically correct here. Women of a certain age who come every Tuesday and Thursday and exercise. It's called Chico Metrics, it's community. There's some of our own, it's a community wide thing.
And then as we were pulling in, I saw that you guys have a ladybug preschool.
Yeah, we have a preschool downstairs, and it was started by members of the church, but it was started as a separate entity so that it's not. It's not part of our. I mean, it is part of our ministry.
Sure.
We look at it as part of our ministry,
right.
But it's separate.
Right.
It's for the community, scouts. You know, yeah. This has been this church has been very active with scout with troop 84 was either South Dakota or. Every church I've been in has had an active scout troop.
Cool.
Which is just, that's been by accident.
Yeah, that's neat.
But it is neat.
Yeah.
It is neat. But one of them was 84, so I always get mixed up.
You guys not only have Troop 89, which is a big, active troop.
Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest in our county.
It's at least the biggest in the district, if not the council.
Right.
And then we have PAC 89 and Crew 89. Mm-hmm. So we're really going to have the full gamut.
That's right.
Here at Bednar Presbyterian.
Yeah, we've got, and we've got, that's the other thing, with the congregation, we have a lot of our, not a lot, but we have several members who have gone through the ranks, not just in scouting, but in this troop. You know, I've got adults who were Eagle Scouts out of 89.
Right.
So there's a rich history.
Right.
And it's always fun on Scout Sunday to have the kids and parents come in at the beginning the Scout Master will just share with the congregation what's going on, and inevitably they'll ask, you know, if you've been in scouting, you know, stand or if you're an Eagle Scout, continue. Just massive amounts of Eagle Scouts in this congregation, which is amazing. You know, it's just and I know the troop cranks them out too.
We get
all these courts of honor.
I've been to a couple of them here. I've been a couple of courts of honor.
Well, that's something that when Andy and I go around and we do a presentation, that's something that Andy always tries to ask the crowd too, and it is pretty amazing. About, I'd say at least 90% of the people that are listening to that presentation have been affected or been connected to scouting in some way.
Yeah,
they knew somebody who's in scouting, their son, their cousin, whatever. But they somehow scouting has been a part of their lives, or they knew that it was is going on around them. Which is strange because one of the questions that we pose to them or that we hear a lot is, "You guys are still around?
Yeah,
Scouts are still out there doing it? Yeah." Yeah, we are. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on.
The church has kind of had the similar path. You know, it used to be a major player in society.
Right.
We are not any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's what we've seen, too. We've seen a shift, just knowing some of the history, you know, through getting to know the scouting program over the past several years, is it was huge. I mean, it was like, you know, how Little League traveling teams and things are now, that's what scouting was.
Right.
You got, if you were old enough, you were in scouts.
Yep.
If you were in first grade or, you know, you were in scouts. That was just the way the culture was. And parents were involved in that.
Right.
Now it's shifted to where they've got so many different things pulling on them that scouts may be a part of it. Maybe they're splitting time between three other things.
Right.
So it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the same, you know, very similar with, you know, our after school programs. You know, Wednesday night used to be church night.
Yeah.
That's disappeared. There's no longer.
No kidding.
You know, even Sundays aren't sacred anymore.
Well, you know,
My
scout meetings were on Sunday nights when I was a scout.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the worship hour, you know, that you know, 10 to noon on Sunday mornings with soccer, with hockey, you know, a lot of these basketball tournaments that go over into Sundays. So we can, you know, we can mourn that and fight against it, or we can accommodate that
change. And that's exactly what we've been trying to do is try to accommodate that change and make sure that whatever we're putting out there is convenient for our parents and our kids.
Yeah.
And because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for something that's quick. Give me the information quick so I can take that information, I can put it in my calendar, and I can plan on it.
Yep.
If you expect me to be there week in and week out, I can't guarantee it right now.
Yep.
I don't know what work's going to do.
I don't know
what other things I've got, other commitments I have. So that's really what we've been trying to do. So that's good to hear, too, on your end, that we're all trying to really adapt.
I think we have to, or we're going to die. I've seen a lot of churches who were not going to adapt, you know, and they're dead.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've been witnessing a dying church. Mm-hmm. You know, like the church I grew up in. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to They don't want to adapt the times,
yep.
And they're withering away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a slow death for the most part.
Yeah, because you have those, yep. You have those people that are hanging on that have just enough money that they're going to give to the church so that
right.
they
keep
can
the
hang
door
on.
Open.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that becomes their mission. And wow,
right.
Yeah, I like yeah. what you said about at what point does it become like a mausoleum?
Yeah.
Because
what's funny is. I know, especially up in churches, there's Clinton, there's up in Clinton, where I came from, there's churches that are purely running on dead people's money.
Right.
Where it's either money that has been gifted,
yeah.
or ones where it's like, we're not, well, this clock was designated by this fund,
right.
and we're not going to sell this clock because that contains the ghost of this
right.
person or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, so you don't have anybody coming in here, but you have a very nice clock.
Right. You don't see it or read the time
exactly.
it is, but
yeah.
it's a really nice
yep.
clock.
Yep.
You know, and it is sad, you know, when mm-hmm. you watch, when people have dug their feet in so much
yeah.
that they're... It's because there's some people, it's like they are willing to let it go before they would change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of sad how everything that
right.
turns out.
It is. It is.
But what's good is you guys seem to be on the up and up here.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys know what you're doing.
We're trying. You know, we're trying.
How many services do you guys run?
We do two. We do a 9 o'clock is our traditional, the old school
mm-hmm.
worship service. And then at 11 o'clock, we sandwich... Between that, our education hour,
mm-hmm.
And then 11 o'clock is what we call our bridge worship, which is we designed it as a bridge into the community, into that new, so it's a contemporary worship.
Sure,
we have a couple of different praise bands that rotate in and out, and
cool,
and our minister of music, the one that's really the kind of the force behind this. He's an Eagle Scout, so there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep, yep.
Who's it? What's his name?
Chris Werner.
You know, I've seen that name before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. He grew up in Davenport, but I can't remember. I know he's told me what troop he was a part of. He was one of the Western Davenport. But, yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I don't know, I think you've met Ralph Otteson.
Oh, I know Ralph.
Yeah. So I asked him, what is the difference between a Methodist and a Presbyterian?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He said that,
that's
that,
be great.
That Presbyterians forgive debts and Presbyterians and Methodists
forgive
they do trespasses.
Oh, they do okay, trespasses, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And
yeah.
that's
true. You know, anymore. You know, there's theological differences, but nobody cares about those. They really don't. And that's the thing, you know, that's another issue. If we don't, you know, it's okay to maintain our own
right.
distinct theology, but that's not what draws people. That's not what people connect to. Again, it's the relationships.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that becomes kind of what we build our ministry upon, but it's not what we worship. We don't
right.
worship our tradition anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing that really, that people would notice the difference between us is basically how we govern ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, you know, in the Presbyterian Church, we kind of apply for positions, pastors.
Yeah.
In the Methodist Church, the district moves them around a little bit. You know, they decide when it's time to go and that kind of thing. Those are, you know, for the most part, we all, our foundational theology is
right.
all the same. We're just a little bit different brands.
Well, that's
right.
Yeah, it's how many... You have all these different churches, and yet it's all the same text.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
The text is all the same.
Right. Exactly.
So I think of it more like you have soda.
Yeah.
And you have Pepsi, Coke,
yep.
and RC, and then you have, like, cola.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
you have, like, the Great Value cola.
That's exactly...
It's all the same.
It is.
You know, and
we're not
it's all
say
the same.
Which ones are which.
And
no.
But there are differences.
At the end of the
my Pepsi
day...
Side.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm a Pepsi person. But at the end of the day, like, it all gets the job done. It's all...
Right.
It all... You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
Which, if I'm
thirst.
At a party... If I'm at a party and they have Great Value cola, I'm not upset.
No.
Right.
If you're thirsty, you're still going to drink
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 That,
if you're still looking for something,
yep.
you can get maybe you can get the job done right here.
That's
you can
exactly
find what
it.
You're looking for right here.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that's one of the positives, you know, of that is that we then can appeal to different people who have different tastes,
mm-hmm.
you know. Some people like what was the quote?
Great
Value cola. So there's some great value churches, you know?
I'm there's pretty sure that churches. Great value cola is the source of ulcers. Like,
all ulcers?
All ulcers. And they're like, did you drink great value last week? Oh, my God. Okay. Stop drinking that.
Take a break.
Which, I've been to churches that have been the source of ulcers. That is honest to God truth. That is...
yeah, I hear you.
One of his old jokes I like is that these sailors stumbled upon a deserted island, and when there was a man on there. He had been shipwrecked, and he had been there for quite some time. And he had kind of built, some different buildings. He had a house, and so they were going to rescue him, but he's like, well, can I show you these things that I've built? And so he showed him his house, and it was all built on with stuff from the island, trees and leaves. And then they're walking through, and they find this other building, and he's like, oh, this is a church that I built. This is where I come and worship every day. And they're like, oh, this is really cool, And then they walk a little bit past, and there's another building that's kind of dilapidated, and it hasn't had much upkeep. And they're like, what's this building? He goes, well, that was the first church I built. I stopped liking what they were teaching, so I went and built next one.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Troy, I really enjoyed talking about this. This is fun. I was like, there's things I want to talk about that probably aren't podcast appropriate now at this point. But so we have three questions that we ask all of our guests. Okay. Oh, before we do that. Your Easter celebration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you guys doing for Easter? What's going on this weekend?
Yeah,
we've got the Easter egg hunt for our kids Saturday, 10 o'clock, and we don't advertise it, but anybody that shows up is welcome. It's preschool through. Oh, I'm gonna screw this up. I want to say. Fifth grade, third grade, maybe, and we break them into three different age groups, so it's not the big kids aren't mashing the little ones
Here on the grounds.
Yeah,
just out.
Yeah. If it's nice, we do it outside. Hopefully, And last few years it's been nice, so there's nothing worse than an Easter egg hunt indoors. Oh, it's horrible. Yeah,
that is the worst.
It is. The worst. I think. Yeah.
Is any inevitably you find it? This is totally the great value cola of Easter egg.
It would be. It would be. So that's at 10 o'clock on Saturday, and then Sunday we have two services. This year we decided. The last couple years we've done a big cantata, which is excellent, and that's always great. But this year we decided to do our cantata over the over Christmas season, and so we're going to have just two regular. It'll be communion services, a traditional one at 9, and more of a contemporary Easter celebration at 11. And so that's our plans. Wow. Yeah.
And then, have you ever done a Seder meal?
We have, yeah. We do.
I think those are so cool.
Do those on Monday, Thursday, usually. That's when the upper room, when Jesus was in the upper room having the Seder meal with his disciples. And so we've done that in the past some different times. It is cool.
They one of the things in a Seder meal is like bitter herbs. And they do like horseradish kind of stuff. Which is disgusting.
Oh, I love it.
And so I was at a Seder meal when I was in high school, and I had upper palate extender. Like a thing that's pushing your teeth out.
Do you get underneath it?
Oh, yeah. I like eat this thing and just goes up there. And I'm sitting there in the Seder meal. It's horrible. I'm going like... I'm trying to get
out of
it. Oh man, that was bad.
Was your nose running?
Oh, it was bad. And I'm trying to not like draw attention to myself.
Right?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Oh, Easter has some of the coolest traditions, and not just Easter itself, but also this time. Like, I've always been interested in like Jewish history stuff and Passover. Yeah. And Easter is totally overshadowed by like other holidays, but I always and I always enjoy Easter almost purely because of Cadbury eggs. But
about Peeps?
Peeps are good.
Do you like the Peeps?
In our family, we have our cousins. There's 10 of us, and it's kind of like our siblings. I mean, we're really close.
Right.
And every year we have the Easter egg hunt, and like grudges are made, like punches are thrown.
Fist fights,
right? Like I have pushed a 7-year-old over to get an egg.
That was last year.
That was last
right?
year, yeah. And my grandma would always give. She would always get like a bigger bunny or something, and the person who got the most peeps, well, not the most eggs, but the most peeps,
okay.
would get the prize. So that was kind of the indicator.
Right.
So I would just go around and pick up all the soft eggs, like the ones that aren't heavy or
right.
something.
Because they probably got peeps in them.
But what's
weight.
Funny is, like, if you open up, like, a thing of M&M's, and then we just throw it in a bag, and it's not like a wrap thing M&M's, they just
right.
put M&M's in. They're, like, red and pink and yellow and white, so they're totally Valentine's Day's M&M's. So they're all the
I've
Easter
been around
candy
for a while.
Day after Valentine's Day when you
right.
got it for 75%
right.
off, and then that was our Easter candy.
At least it's not Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, the one year it was, like, they're red and green, and
yeah.
I'm like, come on,
East
Grandma. Like, come
oh.
on. Well, Valentine's Day was less than that.
You
so.
Still ate them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think
M&M's
really go bad.
No,
I don't think so. Well, we can put that to the test,
let's,
I guess.
Let's try this out.
This your Easter egg.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, well, three questions.
All right.
Okay.
So, the first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
Oh, Big Bang Theory. Oh, yeah,
nice.
I love it.
Yep.
We love it. That's just, I mean, we watch that. And it's on, like, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And if you turn on the TV and it's Big Bang Theory time.
Right.
30% of the time, it's going to be the time machine.
Where they buy the time machine.
Yeah.
They buy that time machine.
Right.
And they're like, that looks like something Elton John would drive through the Everglades. And that episode is on all the time.
It is.
But that is a really, really good show.
We actually have the Big Bang Theory trivia game. Have you
oh,
seen
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, we're
well, have you seen there's a clue board?
No, for Big Bang?
Yeah, and it's like, Sheldon, somebody either sat a spot or messed up something. And, oh, I think actually you have to figure out what they messed up of Sheldon's. And so instead of having like a noose and a ratchet, it's like a couch and, you
right,
know, what
right,
did they mess
right,
up
they
of
have,
Sheldon's?
Yeah.
And so it's the other six characters
oh,
that are,
awesome.
You know, so it's like, oh, Amy messed up his toothbrush
right,
in
right.
the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I'm going to check into that.
Yeah, that could be our new Easter tradition. We come
right?
and play Big Bang.
Big Bang.
I don't know if we should play Big Bang Theory game on Easter. That kind of defeats the purpose of the...
Oh, no, I think it's great. I think that's awesome. Yeah, very appropriate.
Second question. Mm-hmm. If you could start all over and have your dream job, other than the one that you have,
uh-huh.
what would it be?
It'd be something outdoors. I love being outdoors. And when I was young, I thought about doing something in conservation or,
sure.
or something like that, wildlife biology,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. So
cool.
It would be something along those lines.
You know where you'd want to be?
In the mountains or on the beach. Right? Those are the
polar opposites.
You can't go wrong, though.
Well, though, here it is. Okay, I love the mountains, I love the beach, and I live in Iowa. Well, what's wrong with this picture? Right? I know.
It's like you're punishing yourself.
That's right. A good Presbyterian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Total depravity of man. Yeah.
Oh, man. So the last question is, if you could meet anyone, live, dead, fictional, and meet anyone and have dinner with them,
wow.
who would you meet and what would you eat? I think Jesus is out of the question.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's a default, right?
Yeah.
And we play that game every year when we go on vacation, and we always pick three people that
uh-huh.
you would have dinner with, and where would you eat dinner? You know, where would you go? And
cool.
Oh, so you're adding two other people.
We are. We do. And then, but then we get 15 minutes to think about it. So
right.
and then we
okay.
go around and share.
Well, you have 15 seconds.
So, I know.
Yeah, you're on the clock.
It's a hard one. I'm going to go. Continue down the kind of that religious thing, but I think it would be Gandhi. I think it would be fascinating to have dinner with that guy.
Yeah.
And cheap because he doesn't eat much. Right?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I have a steak with him.
Right.
Oh,
he would look at me like, what
a
horrible man.
Gandhi, I'll cover the bill on this.
So we would have rice, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I don't. But I just would love to sit down with Gandhi because, I mean, he embodied so many different faith traditions within his philosophy, mm. And just how he got to be where he, you know, how he formulated his sure. understanding.
Man. Sure.
Because he's got Christian ethics, he's got Jewish, he's got, you know, Hindu and yeah. Buddhist, and mm-hmm. I mean, he kind of is a conglomerate of this.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Fascinating, man.
That's cool.
You know, I like the idea of adding two other people into the mix, because the way you have to think about it is like, oh, if I wanted to eat dinner with Gandhi and they have two other people,
right.
I want to know the conversation
between
them,
yeah, yeah.
Gandhi,
that's
and somebody else would have.
Right.
That's a whole
so
new
you get a, two,
premise.
Yeah, three people in the same room and
mm-hmm.
have listen
like,
to that.
I would need 15 minutes to think about
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So maybe we need to start shooting that question ahead of time. And say, this is the question coming. Think of three people
right.
that you want to be around a table with,
oh,
share
man.
A meal.
That's just that's a really good concept.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, rock and roll.
Pastor Troy, thank you.
You're welcome.
For your
thank
time
you.
Today.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Appreciate
this
it.
Was fun.
I had a blast doing it. And lots of good things going on here. Glad to promote it. We'll get it out here. And hopefully some of our volunteers listen to it. And maybe they'll join you on Easter Sunday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for your continued
yes.
support of Scouting.
You know, it truly benefits us. It really does. It gives us another opportunity to make a difference in some of these boys' lives. You know, that's what it's all about.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
So. No, rock and roll.
Right.
Thank you,
good.
Brother.
Thanks.
All right.